You know how important it is to say that. You know how often you need to say that. I remember my dad, who for the longest time wasn't the big church guy, but he knew this. If you don't hear someone say, I love you, you will hear something else from someone else that will say the exact opposite. True? If you are not reminded of your worth, someone will tell you you are not worthy. One of my dearest friends from college, we were thick as thieves. Afterwards, he had lots of experiences that for him told him that he wasn't sure about this God thing. He wasn't sure about God's existence, and if God did exist, it was kind of far off. That whole idea of being loved unconditionally was something that he struggled with. The idea that God actually cared is something that he struggled with. He was kind of, if you will, a functioning agnostic with a sprinkle of Christian language. I think there is. So he goes to a high school reunion in Minnesota. And he expects a wonderful time visiting friends that he hasn't seen in a long, long while. During that time, his best friend from college had a spouse murdered. Wrong place, wrong time. And what was meant to be a time of joy and celebration all of a sudden became a time of heartache and sorrow. And he spent several weeks just being with the family and the friends who were suffering. He didn't even make it to the reunion. On his way back to Florida, he found himself at O'Hare Airport. How many of you have ever been through O'Hare? How many of you have enjoyed that experience? And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden he notices a sign that says chapel. And something in his head goes, I need to go there. Maybe it was remnants of a faith long ago. Still, he felt the need to go. And he started following the signs, chapel this way, chapel this way, chapel this way. And it felt like, he said, that he went through the whole stinking airport to find the chapel. That in and of itself seems like a sermon for later. He finally found the chapel in what was impossibly a quiet spot in O'Hare. O'Hare? One problem. The chapel was on the other side of security. And he asked, he said, Matt, I want you to answer me something. Do you think God had to take off his shoes and belt? That seems to me a metaphor. A metaphor of experience that many, many, many people have. How many of you love going through security? It is a task. You are in the midst of complete strangers. And more often than not, these people are a little bit frazzled and on high alert. A dangerous combination. And there you stand, without coat or the dignity of shoes, and you feel laid bare. People are watching you. People are noticing you. And you shuffle along through security without money or keys or anything. And how many of you are in the back of your mind thinking, did I get everything out? Did I make sure that I have everything properly contained in my little plastic bag for the whole world to see? Oh, I see you're on prescriptions. Your whole life is there. And you go through and they check your papers, they check your ID, they check your photo. And you dare not want to joke with them. I tried. They have work. And you go through and you stand in front of the machine. Or you go through the detector and you pray, oh, I hope. And you make it through. While someone is watching you intently. And then you hear it. Ding, 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 ding. And you look and you thank the Lord above it wasn't you. But you look behind you and here's a person who is obviously a little embarrassed, a little frazzled, a little concerned. And you say to yourself, do you not, there but for the grace of God. And then they have to get patted down. And then they look through the suitcase. I don't know about you, but being very German, I have my suitcase very well neatly packed. Because I take too much junk. And they have, I've never had this experience, can you tell? And they start taking apart this neatly packed suitcase, looking. And what's even more embarrassing is on the return trip because you got dirty laundry. I don't want anyone looking at my dirty laundry. Do you? And you pray to God, just get me. How many of you have found that type of experience with God? It feels like you're going through security. You want to make sure your papers are correct. You want to make sure everything is okay, else you're going to hear ding, 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 ding. And you find yourself not worthy. For a lot of people, that seems to be their experience of God. He's making a list, checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. God's watching. The preacher who wrote the letter to Hebrews is very aware. Is very aware of people's experience of the divine that they have created. The whole archaic language of priesthood. In ancient times, if you've read your history, there was always a figurehead, a priest, someone. They were the representative of the divine, of the power that you had to get through. They offered sacrifices and all sorts of things to make sure you were right. And it became appeasement, God of appeasement. If you offer the right words, the right sacrifices, did the right things, you might make it. You might make it. And the author says, we can approach the throne of it's not the throne of judgment, because that's what we think, right? God's throne is the throne of judgment. What did the author of Hebrews say? We approach the throne of grace. Grace. Amazing grace. with what? Meekness? Say it. Boldness. Why? Why can we do that? It is only because of Jesus Christ. And do you know already what Jesus thinks of you? Is Jesus that TSA agent going through your stuff looking for that one thing that you forgot? Is Jesus the one with latex gloves not wanting to touch you? Jesus is the one with stained, hurting hands. Not because God demanded blood. That's ancient pagan theology. But God who showed up and took all of you before the throne. Look. Look at what the people created in the image of the divine. Look what they are going through. Look at the pain that they have. Look at the questions that they have, that they have done to one another and done to themselves. Look at the love that they have so little of. Look, look. I bear that. I take that. That's what Jesus does. He takes your death in all its forms. And it is literally on Him. Therefore, we can approach the throne of amazing grace with absolute boldness and hear clearly, you are now and forever we do not fear because we stand in absolute hope. And we will not fear our neighbors because we stand in absolute grace. If God so sees you, God sees the same person sitting next to you. You need not be afraid. You are in God's hands. Now and forever. And may the church say,